Next Step number 37, February 25th, 2009.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are searching for truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vasquez, and welcoming you back to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes Mission, the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and is brought to you by the good folks at the Apostles Net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Expanding and Electronic Universe. Hey, if you're ready, and I know I am, let's take the next step. Do you sense a new energy level in my voice? Yes, I am back. And you say, where are you back from? Well, even if you didn't say it, I'm going to tell you where I'm back from. You won't believe it. I have been just renewed, and I'm back. Well, of course there's no USSR, in fact there's no BOAC, but there is a beautiful country, it's called Armenia, and I had a chance to spend the last 10 days there with my son Vadojan. We went for a meeting and kind of expanded into this opportunity to look at the first Christian country, to look at the Cathedral of Etchmiadzin and see the Armenian church in a new manner, in a new light, after communism, and see what there is, how it's reaching out and how it's touching people. And I have to tell you, I am energized, I am renewed, and ready to share so much of it, not only today, but in the weeks to come, to share some of the stories, some of the adventures that we had over there. You know, everybody needs to be renewed. I felt like I was plugged in. You know, you plug in and you get that energy. I think you could tell it from my voice. But today we have an incredible podcast, just like we do every week. We've got Harach from London. We've got Ani with her spiritual bubbles on this Lenten trip that we're in. You know, this is the first podcast of the Lenten season 2009. But from Armenia, I want to start it off with a song, because being away so long, I hardly knew the place. It's been about 30 years I've been there. And one of the new additions that they had in Armenia was the Vazgenyan Seminary. In fact, those of you who are familiar with some of the musical taste that we have on this podcast know that I've played a lot of tunes from the seminarians over there. Well, I had a chance to visit the Vazgenyan Seminary, of course named after Vazgen I, the Venerable Patriarch during a good 40, almost 40 years of the 20th century. He led the Armenian church some through some very, very difficult times. And over at Lake Sevan, they have constructed the new seminary, and I had a chance to visit there. And when I told them that what a fan I am of the music that the seminarians have put out, they offered their latest CD. They just put out a new CD of spiritual songs. I'm going to start off today's podcast with a dedication to the young men that I met there, and of course a dedication to all of Armenia. This is called Etchmiadzin, and it is by the seminarians of the Vasgenyan Seminary at Lake Sevan. Etchmiadzin ihore. Etchmiadzin, the word itself, is a descriptive word. Etch means descent, and miadzin means of the only begotten. And it describes a vision that was had by Saint Gregory the Illuminator. He was the one who obviously enlightened Armenia. Remember that term, enlightened. Think about it, how important light is within all of great religion. I mean, isn't the Buddha called the enlightened one? And the head of the Armenian church, this first saint, the patron saint, Gregory, is the enlightened one. Basically, the one who not only is enlightened, but offers the opportunity to enlighten others. And he brings the light of God. The light of God, the only begotten Son, is coming to Armenia. And in a vision, he describes how he, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, pointed to where the cathedral of the Armenian people would be. In other words, the assembly point of where the people of God should be. This is what's called Etchmiadzin. And not only is there a cathedral there that morning, but the exciting thing is that it is a standing, it is a functioning cathedral. It is not a museum. It is a place where people gather and pray today, where people gather and come and worship and offer themselves as a sacrifice to the work that God has called us to do, a sacrifice to the word of love, to the work of love. And I cannot find words sometimes to describe that awesome power that is within Etchmiadzin. You know, to be able to have this blessing in my life at this point in my life was overwhelming. To go there with my son and wake up in the cathedral. We actually lived within the compound, within the monastery of Etchmiadzin. Wake up every morning to those bells humming and playing their tune that were inviting us to worship. And seeing that beautiful scene, those beautiful domes of Etchmiadzin every day as part of our lives. And Etchmiadzin itself is not only the monastery, but is a town. It used to be called Vahar Shabad, and sometimes it is referenced the same as Vahar Shabad, but today that town is called Etchmiadzin, and within that town there are a few different churches and two separate monasteries. One is dedicated to the maiden Haripsime, and one is dedicated to Gayane. And last Sunday I had a chance to celebrate the divine liturgy within that monastery. And I gotta tell you that there are a few things in life that really leave their mark on your life. And this was one of those events. To be able to stand at the Holy Cathedral of Saint Gayane, at an altar that is constructed on the remains, on the tomb of this saint, the mother of Armenian Christendom. In other words, she was the reason why Haripsime, why Gregory the Enlightener, why Durtad, the king, all got together, and at that point in history, in 301, Christianity became the official religion of the Armenian people. Why a group of people were enlightened, and in being enlightened, offered that light to the rest of the world. You're talking about the beginning, the center, the core of where Christianity began for the rest of the world. And at that one little spot, you are offering the Holy Divine Liturgy, the Badarak, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I mean, you think about how humbling of an experience that is. And I feel so blessed, so honored, that in this small life of ours, we have an opportunity like this. And it points to the bigger opportunity. If you think about it for a moment, you know, these little events that take place in our lives, and we feel we're connected to the bigger events of life, remind us that God too picks each and every one of us to celebrate that divine liturgy, to celebrate the sacrifice of His love. He asks each and every one of us to be the carriers of the light. How? By carrying His love. By this, people will know that you are my disciples, says Jesus Christ, by the way you love others. And as I stood there at this altar offering the divine liturgy, it went through my mind that, you know, yes, I am blessed, but the bigger blessing is that God has given each and every one of us a chance to plug in. Each and every one of us an opportunity to really energize ourselves with the energy that comes from the source of life, which comes from the incarnation of love. In our lives, we have an opportunity to celebrate that love every single day. By this they will know that you are my disciples, says our Lord Jesus Christ, by the way you love others. And when we extend ourselves to others, when we share in that love, it is like standing at the altar and offering our sacrifice to God by being able to love one another. You know, this is all still new to me. It's all fresh. I'm still suffering from jet lag. So I hope you'll join us at our website, inhisshoes.org. I'll be blogging about this, sharing some pictures. And of course, in the next few weeks, we'll be talking more about it intensely, about some of the different dimensions that a trip to Armenia, that a trip to the Holy Land, that a trip to the source of Christianity can have on all of our lives. So I hope you'll join us not only on these podcasts, but as well as on our website. But for now, you know what? This is the Lenten season. This is our first podcast of Lent 2009. And you know what? Today happens to be Ash Wednesday. You say, wait a minute, what's ashes got to do with this? Isn't that something the Catholics do? Well, just like the divine liturgy that we celebrated at Guyane, it's an opportunity for us to focus in on what is important. Yes, and the Catholics put, or the Western world, I know the Episcopals and many others share in that tradition of putting ashes on their forehead. It is a reminder that we were from the ashes and we go to the ashes. There's nothing uniquely to say that this is Catholic and this is something that you cannot do. It is a reminder. It is just one more small symbol that people are using to express themselves, to connect to something bigger than themselves. Is it a practice within Armenian Orthodoxy, within the Armenian Church? No. But is there any harm in it? Absolutely not. And it is a reminder that we are in the Lenten season. And I told you last week, we're going to be starting off this season with some very special elements that allow us to think about something bigger. In the Armenian Orthodox tradition, we start our Lent on Monday. We started a few days ago. So it's a journey, actually. And let's take that journey together, because I promise you, once you take this Lenten journey, Easter, which is coming up, has a new meaning. Let's take this journey. You're going to like it.
There was a hush in the Passion Play.
Well, Lent is really this period of time that kind of aligns all of our senses in one direction. You see, in the ancient church, there are five major feast days related to Jesus. The first one, of course, is his birth. There is the transfiguration where he radiates like life. There is a third one dedicated to his mother, the assumption of the Theotokos or Astvazadzin. And there is the feast of the cross, the fourth one, the cross, which is a sign of victory. But the most important of all of these is the resurrection, Easter Sunday. And that is the fifth and most important. And I say most important because all of the others are dependent on that. Basically, if Jesus Christ did not resurrect from the grave, then there wouldn't be any reason to have the other ones. He would just be another good teacher, another good doer. It'd be just another person, another human. But the divinity is reflected in that resurrection, in the conquering of all of the evil and including crucifixion. So Easter becomes this major celebration. And each of the major five feast days of the ancient church is preceded by a period of fasting. And Great Lent is this period of preparation and fasting as we get ready to approach Holy Easter. And the 40-day period begins on Monday. It ends just before Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, of course, is the day of celebration. And then begins the Great Week. Avak Shabbat translates exactly the Great Week, the Holy Week, which is just before Easter, and in the West they have names for it, unique names like Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. Each of those days in Armenian tradition is called Great Monday, Great Tuesday, Great Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and of course Easter Sunday, the day of resurrection. So Lent prepares us for Easter Sunday, so that when we talk about it, it's not just Easter bunnies and bonnets and baskets, but it's about victory. You see, when I talk to you about resurrection, it goes over our heads, all of us. There's nobody that really understands about it, what resurrection could possibly mean. I mean, think about it. Anybody who's gone into a cemetery knows that nobody comes out. And no one's experienced that, going in and coming out. But if I were to talk to you about crucifixion, oh yeah! Every one of us know what we're talking about. We've all been betrayed. We've been slapped in the face. We've been spit upon. We've been stepped upon. We've been through difficulties. Crucifixion is something you and I can relate to on a real human level. Resurrection is concept. It's just a concept out there. How do we make that real in our lives so that when we get together on Easter, that resurrection is real? Well, we point to it. We start experimenting with our lives, and it begins through the Lenten journey. Each day of Lent is a time that we take a step closer to Easter, so that when Easter comes and we say Christ has been resurrected from the dead, those are just not words, but we feel it. And so during Lent, we have certain practices. Now, I went through those last week, and I appreciate the response that we had to that little podcast we did. Yes, absolutely. Apostle.net got started back in the year 2000, even before podcasting, before there was such a thing as podcasting. It was even before really simple syndication. There was no such thing as RSS, and we were doing that. And yes, you heard it last week. You heard us giving that little instruction on Lent. Well, let's take it to the next level. Let's take our next step right now. Lent is a period of time that prepares us. So how do we prepare? Three things, three elements to it. And the Gospels point to this in the Gospel of Matthew. Prayer. You increase your prayer life by being regularly in prayer. Number two is through physical fasting. And this takes place by giving up all those things that are not necessary. Now, some people say, well, I give up chocolate for Lent. I gave up coffee. I gave up drugs. I gave up alcohol. Wow, if you've done all that, that's pretty cool. But you know what? The practice is to give up all animal products. Does it matter? Well, yeah, in a sense it does. Because what you need to do is you need to bring down life to its basic bare essentials. So during Lent, it's not so much of what you eat and what you take in, but as much as understanding the concept behind it. What is really essential for your life? Remember when Jesus went out to the wilderness for 40 days? At that point, he was tempted. Turn these stones into bread. And Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that is pronounced from God. So what is necessary in your life to sustain your life? Bring it down. Get rid of all of the excesses. See what is really essential in your life. You can give up what you want, but by practicing this, the Lenten practices as prescribed through the Armenian Orthodox tradition, it's to give up meats, to give up those things that are not necessary and cluttering up our lives. And you think about it. I mean, why did the ancients not have cholesterol problems? I mean, they ate and drank, but they had these periods of fasting where you brought the body down to its bare essentials, what was necessary to live and to survive. So try it out. For the next 40 days, give up everything that is not necessary. That is sort of fits into the luxury categories. And when you start doing this, your body in itself will start reacting, will start craving, and those cravings remind you of what is important in life and what is excess in life. You'll find that cravings usually go with the excesses. It's very important to be in a discipline of body, mind, and soul during this time. Now, I said there were three things. So there was prayer, there was the fasting, and the last one is almsgiving. Be able to reach out to other people, to share your love, to give where people are hurting, to provide for people who are not as well off as you. And you know, when you combine all of these, you start fasting and you realize that, you know, there are people who fast every day, not because of choice, but because of circumstances of life, the hungry in the world, the starving. You realize that people don't have, not because of choice, but because those are the situations that they are in. The orphans, those who are hurting in their lives, don't have the love, don't have the touch, don't have the sensitivities that you and I take for granted. So bringing Lent into your life is not just to isolate the luxuries, but to also understand your place within life, your place within your community, within the world, to be able to reach out and spread that love. Prayer, almsgiving, or giving of yourself, and of course fasting, all of them come together in this Lenten journey. I think it's time for some bubbles right now. During the Lenten season, we have a very special prayer that we pray. It is called the Havadof Chostvanim. It is, I confess with faith. And I've asked Ani, who does our spiritual bubbles, to really give us this chance during Lent to bring those bubbles into play. This is a prayer that has been written by Saint Nerses Shnorhali, the grace-filled. And it is comprised of 24 verses. Ani will be presenting four verses for the next 6 weeks, so that in the course of the next 6 weeks, you will hear the entire prayer. You are invited to pray this every single day, and I'll see about getting this up on our website. If you do a Google search for it, Nerses Shnorhali, it appears in many different languages. I'll see about getting the Armenian and the English text up on our website in the next couple days, so you'll be able to download it and pray the entire 24 verses. Right now, we're going to hear Ani do her spiritual bubbles, St. Nerses Shnorhali's I Confess with Faith.
Today's spiritual bubble is from the prayers of St. Nerses, the grace-filled. I confess with faith and adore you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, uncreated and immortal essence, creator of angels, of humans, and of all that exists. I confess with faith and adore you, O light indivisible, simultaneous Holy Trinity and one Godhead, creator of light, and dispeller of darkness. Dispel from my soul the darkness of sin and ignorance, and at this hour enlighten my mind, that I may pray to you according to your will, and receive from you the fulfillment of my supplications. Heavenly Father, true God, who sent your beloved Son to seek the wandering sheep, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Receive me like the prodigal son, and clothe me with the garment of innocence, of which I was deprived by sin. Son of God, true God, who descended from the bosom of the Father and took flesh of the Holy Virgin Mary for our salvation, who was crucified and buried and rose from the dead and ascended to the Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Remember me like the robber when you come in your kingdom. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, a great sinner. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Well, you know, if you've ever blown a few bubbles and just let them take off and go up to the heavens, you know, it takes your mind away. It your mind starts wandering. Like, where are those bubbles going? How high will they go up? And that's what these spiritual bubbles are all about. We put them together just so it lets your mind wander for a while. With the beautiful words of Nerses Shnorhali, he's taken our mind and our feelings and our heart up to a different level. So I hope you enjoy that. Ani will be putting together 4 verses every week. And as you get through the Lenten period, you listen to these verses, let your mind wander. Spirit, body, mind, soul, all coming together, just like the 3 elements of the Lenten journey. Prayer, almsgiving, and of course, the Lenten fast. Now, the greatness of the Lenten season in Armenian Orthodoxy is this, that it's all tied together. It all comes together. When I told you to take a journey with me for the next 40 days until we get to Easter, I'm talking about putting all of these elements together. And one of the most beautiful parts of the Armenian tradition is this, that there is a golden chain, as it's been said, of Sundays that unite themselves, that come together and make a chain between the beginning of Lent to the end of Lent. And each Sunday is called, is referred to by a special and unique name. This coming Sunday is called Expulsion Sunday. It reminds us of a time when Adam and Eve were expelled from paradise. Now, of course, I'm talking about the story that appears in Genesis in the Bible, the story of paradise, won and lost, one that was given to humankind and then was lost to sin. Adam and Eve being those symbols of humanity and sin coming into their lives by their greed, by their want to be like God. Now, it's very important, and I need to say this, that remember our perspective on the Bible. As I've always shared with you, this orthodox understanding, the Bible is true, but it is not factual. Get that out of your head that, you know, Adam and Eve are these cave people living in some place and time. The word Adam and Eve mean man and woman, God creating humankind, not necessarily a man named Adam and a woman named Eve.
Hey, Wilma, I'm home.
Yes, doesn't television and the movies, don't they shape a lot of the things that we wonder about? I mean, it's a powerful tool, and they play such a big part of our lives, of our understanding of things that we don't understand. Fred, we love you, but Fred is not Adam. And so too, so many of the images that we have of Adam and Eve sitting in this beautiful garden, and then Eve handing over the apple. Was it an apple? Was it a pear? Well, of course it was an apricot, because it was indigenous to Armenia, and the Garden of Eden was in Armenia. You can go on and on about these things, but that's not the detail that God wants us to focus on. The detail is the story, the moral of the story. What is the story of paradise, of expulsion? God creating humankind, giving it all of the latitude, all of the luxuries of life, and saying there's one little basic rule. Don't be like God. Don't eat of this fruit. Understand that you are human. And Eve and the man, these two symbols of humanity are brought together, and sin enters into their lives when they try to be like God. Let's try the fruit. Let's go against God's wishes. Well, what is that all about? It's the story of you and my life today. Because you and I are humanity today, deciding that what God has placed for us as paradise is not what we want, but we want something that we can't have. Think about it from our childhood. Whatever mom and dad forbid us to have, that's the one we want. Right now, if you have children, you could say you can watch any channel that you want, except channel 9, let's say. And you know what? I guarantee, 5 minutes later, if you leave them alone in a room, come back, and I guarantee the TV will be on channel 9. It's always the power of the forbidden fruit. Well, unfortunately, in our lives, there are the bigger fruits. There are the bigger challenges that really destroy our lives. Because God says, love one another. That's His commandment. And what do we say? We answer back and we say, not everyone. Yes, we automatically in our lives, we've already put those conditions. We've already decided that we will be like God, and we will create our own systems, our own rules. Love one another? We say not everyone. God says care for one another. And we say, how about just those that give something in return? Let's do good to the people that do good for us. God says love your neighbor as yourself. And what do? We build bombs. We stockpile weapons. Hey, there's nothing to be gained in love. It's easier to destroy. God says value the family. And what do we say? I think I'll work a little bit more. I'll bring the work home. I'll take it out on my family. God says value life, and we say the dollar buys more. Sure, there's more profit in it. What am I going to value life for? I know the value of the dollar. God says enjoy your life. And we find that enjoyment through abuse. We abuse our lives with drugs, alcohol, casual sex, destroying our lives in so many different ways. God says, take care of this world. Our response is, who cares? Cut down the rainforests. Pollute the environment. Global warming. Well, what are these reactions to what God has given us as paradise? God says, worship me. And we say, I've got better things to do on my Sunday morning. He says, know me. And we say, where's the profit in it? You know, all of these things that I'm saying are symbols of sin. Sin is not anything intrinsically evil. It just means missing the mark, falling away from God, what God has prepared for us. And when we have sin, we alienate ourselves from that paradise, from that love, that state of love that God wants us to be in, that communion that He wants us to be in always. And therefore, in the Armenian Orthodox tradition, we use various symbols of this. If you walk into an Armenian church during the Lenten season, there is a curtain in front of the altar, preventing us from seeing God, seeing the paradise that He has in store for us. To not be able to commune with God because of our sins. There are so many, so many beautiful symbols that Orthodoxy allows us to use to understand the bigger picture. And so it is with the story of Adam and Eve. This coming Sunday is called Expulsion Sunday, and it's very important for us to understand it in those terms. A few weeks ago, when Hrach Chilingirian offered his global perspective, he spoke about the anniversary of Darwin, of Charles Darwin. You know, people misunderstood. He said it so beautifully that, you know, a lot of it is so misunderstood because so many people have distorted what the facts are. In fact, there's a nice thread that is weaved throughout Hrach's global perspectives. A week earlier, you remember he spoke about how religion, when he spoke about the Shah, he spoke about how religion is used by politicians, by religious leaders, and distorts the basic understanding of what that religion is all about, the basic message of love, of light, that all of religion tries to expound and articulate, is destroyed because certain people want to take it their own way. Well, so it is with Expulsion Sunday. People trying to put their angle to what God has for us. And so too with Darwinism. It's not a question of Adam and Eve being anti-Darwin, anti-science. It's a question of understanding the bigger picture. And I say this because I got a very sensitive letter this week in our mailbox. And it was kind of sensitive to me because I just returned from Armenia and was going through my mail. And one of our listeners had sent me a newsletter from another church, which I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry that there are Armenian churches that would put this stuff, this garbage, in their newsletter. But I have to tell you, sadly, that this isn't the only one. I've seen other ones too. But it was basically a gay bash. Bashing the gays, saying that they were not the people because in the Bible specifically Sodom and Gomorrah and all of these stories which pointed to this anti-gay activity and that the gays are abominations, that God hates them and so on and so on. It's just a tragic, filthy, article that somehow has found its way inside of this church newsletter. And I believe the reason for that is some of our church leadership feel that, you know, these are easy people to attack. I bring it up today because it was brought to me by one of our listeners, but also because, you know, when you attack gays, there is another population that is an easy target. And I know, as an Armenian, 90 years ago, Armenians were an easy target. And that's why the Turks went after them. They were a very easy target. Nobody was going to stand up for them. And I'm not here to expound gay rights or talk about homosexuality. I'm here to talk about some truths about the reality of God's love. It is all-encompassing. Never feel that God has to be confined because of our mind and our inability to understand the bigger picture. And as far as gay rights and this article, to our listener, I won't mention your name, I do want to share with you this one little passage, which unfortunately most of Christendom has not read. It comes to us from the prophet Ezekiel. Yes, Ezekiel. Remember that name, because sometimes when you know, when you hear Ezekiel, you know some good stuff is coming out. Anyway, it's in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. Listen to what the prophet said. He says, "This was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and the needy." Sodom and Gomorrah, that story that comes out about the abominations, was not connected with homosexuality until about the 17th century, when some Protestants and the word sodomy came up in the King James translation. The original understanding of Sodom and Gomorrah is this rejection of what God has given us. And the same way too, don't understand with your head, start understanding with your heart and get the bigger picture. Understand paradise, understand Adam and Eve as these expressions of where God wants us to be in full communion with Him. That is going to be our Lenten journey. That's what we have in store for you for the next few weeks. So follow this along. You're going to love it. And I guarantee when we get to Easter Sunday, I'm giving you this promise, this guarantee. Easter will have a very special and new meaning for you. Because when we say Christ is resurrected, it won't be just a few words that we spit out from our mouth. It will be a reality of an empty cross. Right now I'm ready, and I know you are too. Here's Haraj Chilingirian with The Global Perspective.
This is Haraj in London, and welcome to this week's Global Perspective. In recent weeks, we discussed the ongoing conflicts in the Middle East and the political uncertainties in the region that are on and off our TV screens and newspapers. We discussed about the security situation, the growing interrelationship between religion and politics, and the global impact of seemingly local conflicts. I said we will come back to these issues because not only they are too important to ignore, but because they have implications for societies much further than the affected country or region itself. Today and in the next few weeks, I want to focus on one of the least mentioned or discussed people or community in the Middle East. The relatively small Christian communities spread in some dozen countries in the region. They are not only facing a host of problems collectively, but are witnessing a major demographic decline. As Father Robert Stern, President of the Pontifical Mission to the Near East, put it, and I quote, "It is clear that the number of Christians is rapidly declining throughout the entire Middle East. Some sources project that it is likely the total Christian population of the Arab world will be as low as 6 million within two decades." Father Stern, who runs an important Catholic charity in the Middle East, lament that most Christians feel a sense of exclusion from the predominantly Muslim or Jewish societies in which they live, and that there is a discrimination against Christians in most Muslim countries, unquote. Regrettably, the plight of Christians in the Middle East, the birthplace of Christianity or the Holy Land, is hardly mentioned on American or generally Western news media. Under the Bush administration, during the 8-year domination of politics in Washington by neoconservatives and the Christian right, one would have thought that the conditions and problems of Christian communities in the Middle East would be addressed by the so-called evangelical Christians or the Christian right. On the contrary, the issue of Christian communities in the Middle East, whether in Iraq, Lebanon, Israel, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, or other such places, was a politically incorrect topic and remains so at the moment, regrettably. One wonders how many Americans are aware that the oldest Christian churches and communities are still in the Middle East, such as the Assyrians, the Copts, the Armenians, and so on. Today, Christian communities in the Middle East face a host of dire internal and external issues. Internally, the questions of integration, assimilation, preservation, and maintenance of community institutions are among the most hotly debated issues, from Beirut to Aleppo to Cairo, Tehran, and Istanbul. Externally, the existing security situations and ongoing conflicts, growing Islamic fundamentalism, state-tolerated othering of minorities, and socio-economic conditions have caused mass migration of Christians in general. As Catholicos Aram of the Cilician Sea had described the situation in the Middle East, and I quote, "This region is now characterized by mutual tolerance and tension, mutual understanding and prejudice, rapprochement and polarization," unquote. Today, I want to highlight the situation of the Armenian communities in the Middle East as an example of the sort of difficulties and challenges facing Christians in this volatile part of the world. Numbering about 400,000, Armenian communities are spread in over 10 countries in the Middle East today, mainly in Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Israel, Palestine, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Syria, Turkey, and the United Arab Emirates. While Armenian presence in the region dates back to ancient times, the overwhelming majority of the Armenians living in the Levant are third and fourth generation descendants of the survivors of the genocide of Armenians in the Ottoman Empire in the early part of the 20th century. Three main institutions play significant roles in defining and maintaining Armenian identity in the diaspora and the Middle East in particular. And those are church, school, and media in the broader sense. And next week, I will discuss these three institutions more in detail, the role they play in the life of a community, and the problems they face in the Middle East today. These might be politically incorrect topics, but I believe they need to be discussed and brought to light so that the next step is taken by those who care enough. Until next time, this is Hraç Çilingirian in London with the Global Perspective.
Some great insight from a unique perspective, and it's always great to have Hraç put together these little segments, and we thank him always. You know, he says about politically incorrect, I mean, think about it, and here we are talking about religiously incorrect in many times. Religiously, because so many people have so many distorted ideas, but when we talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, we're talking about something very pure, something that goes back to the beginning of time, articulated by Jesus as a message of love. And that's what this ministry is about. So I want to thank you for all of your support. I want to thank you for the letters and kind remarks that you share with us. Those really encourage us. And I do want to tell you that we do need to get this message to a broader audience. We do need system upgrades. And I know it's difficult times now for everybody, as it is with our ministry. If you're inclined to help out, to be able to share some of your goodness with this ministry, we specifically need equipment upgrades, and we will use money in that direction. If you would like to make a donation, please give us a call, or don't hesitate to send us an email. You could send it at feedback@epostle.net, or else give us a call at our feedback number, 626 area code in the United States, 275-AMEN. Or go right to our website. That's the best one. Go right to our website, inhisshoes.org, and press on the button that says donate. Wow, do we make it easy for you, or what? In other words, we need your help. Yes, I won't shy away from that topic. We do need your help. If you can donate right now, we would appreciate it. We hope that you're enjoying these podcasts as much as we're enjoying putting them together. We've got so much more coming up. This Lenten journey will continue for the next few weeks. And right now we're going to be specifically talking about how we approach the Easter season. And all of the people that put this podcast together wish you all the best in this journey. For Hadat Jad in London, for Ani with her spiritual bubbles, for Susie, who's taking this big sigh of relief since I've been back from Armenia, and for Ken, who's still snarking at me through that colored glass. Ken, stop it! I can't take it, even with your Fred Flintstone imitations. This is Father Voskin inviting you back again next week, when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.